today. Our verse of scripture today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Many of us know this by heart, but do you know it in your heart? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your awesome power and your grace and mercy that allowed us to see another day. And Lord, we can proclaim that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that you'd give us listening ears and a receptive heart, that as we hear your word today, that Lord, we would not just hear it and then, Father, let it inspire us, but let it move us, that we might be doers of your word. We ask that you bless us now, and bless us to be thy servants through Christ our Lord, who gives us strength. And Father, may we do what we can and serve while we can to bring glory and honor to your name. We ask all of these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and for his sake. Amen. Well, we thank God for our revival, our homecoming, and as we set about the work of doing what God has called us to do, we have to ask ourselves, what next? What should we do now? And how should we move forward in our faith? I want to start off by saying, if your faith does not challenge you, you don't have faith. If your faith does not change you, you don't have faith. If your faith doesn't require a commitment of you, you don't have faith. As we put this verse into context and we talk about the risk of sacrifice, we have to think about what it is that God would have us to give to him as an offering that is acceptable, an offering that is acceptable. So as we look upon this, as we think about this verse into context, the Romans Christians, as we might say, they were facing some issues. A lot of them were being sacrificed in the Colosseum, all to the sport of the Roman elite. Many of them were having to give up their lives. Paul knew this. But he also knew the underlying theme of being a Jew. No matter how often you did it, it was always something that you did rather through, whether through free will offering or guilt offering or sin offering or trespass offering, you were to give a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was not what you had in mind, but that sacrifice would be something that is acceptable unto God. As I think about this, sometimes I'm ashamed of the things that I've been given God. Service when I get ready. To the level that I choose. Rather than giving all. This message is not going to be a long one, but it's going to be a challenging one. Because if you're going to get the most out of your Christian life, it cannot be where you have God to follow you along and get you out of situations and think that that's Christianity. Christianity is living a life of sacrifice. And knowing within your heart that that sacrifice means something to God. It involves risk. Say risk with me. Every time a fireman reports for duty, clocks in, he puts his life on the line. We call them first responders. Every time someone joins the military and says that he will defend this country, he's willing to put his life on the line, his or her life on the line. Every time a police officer shows up for duty, they're putting their life on the line. Now, some days go by and they're fairly routine. Other days go by and they're hanging on by the skin of their teeth, if you would, because they are sacrificing. And I know we say, well, we're giving them pay, but how do you pay them for their life? When you think about being a Christian and being a child of God, why is it that God gets the leftovers? And we glean from the best of his blessing. Paul put this thing in the context, and he really challenges us because he knew that, first of all, the Roman Christian was dealing with the thing, why should I be willing to sacrifice myself just for the sport of some Roman elite or the emperor? I'm not doing that. And while many that had done it, they testified of their faith. Because do you know what was on the line? Many of them were being questioned, all right? Give up your faith, or we're going to throw you into the arena with the lions. Deny that Jesus Christ is Lord, or your life will be destroyed. Many of them had a choice. They had a risk. If I say, all right, I'm not a Christian. I can get back and ask God for forgiveness later. Lord, I'm so sorry. Remember Peter? Amen. Yeah, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I did. I repented my sin, and it'll be all right. God understands. Or am I brave enough, am I bold enough to say, God, I'm willing to sacrifice? Here's the good news. Let me help you out. Some of y'all sweating. Here's the good news. God would never ask you to do something alone.
Amen.
Whatever he places upon your heart to do, God is going to be with you in that.
Amen.
He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So while you're making that bold and brave confession of your faith, you are really saying that under the inspiration, the breathing in of the power of God. You're saying, God, if you help me, I'll do this. If you lead me, I'll do this. I'm going to run through this very quickly because it's a challenging message, and I think you get the point. Amen? But I don't know about you. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of watching others playing church. I need to be real. David, you know, I've discovered something. When you get 65, you got to start thinking seriously about this thing and what you're going to do with your life. Now, let me help you out with this. You're saying, well, I'm going to live for myself. Guess what? While you're trying to live, you're also dying.
Amen.
The doctor hasn't given you the diagnosis yet, but you're going to leave this world with something. And I pray that I go as my dad did. His heart just stopped beating. It just kind of wound down like a clock, and God didn't rewind it. So he just went to sleep. And my mom said that before he passed, he just coughed. And she said, Jimmy, you all right? He said, I'm fine. Laid back on the pillow, and that was it. You know, we're living this life. We say we're living this life. And Reverend Givens just testified how his sister passed and how he had to do the eulogy, but he found the strength.
Amen.
Knowing that the Lord is your shepherd.
Yes. Yes.
Knowing that God is going to be there.
Yes.
But you as a Christian, you must not fear sacrificing. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual. How are you going to show that you love Jesus the way you sing it if you can't show it?
Amen.
Don't go nail yourself to a cross. Don't go climb into a casket and said, I'm ready. No, stand up and live, and God will take care of the rest of it. How's that? Clap right there. Yeah. He'll take it. But there's a second part of this verse that shows us how. He says, what? Then he says, how? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is easy just to fit in, get into that same old Monday morning routine. Just go through your week. Yeah, I do this on Monday, this on Tuesday, that on Thursday, you know, that on Wednesday. And I ain't coming to Bible study this week, so I'm just going to keep on. Sacrifice. What are the risks? First of all, the risk of comfort.
Amen.
Your faith is not something that you use to make you comfortable. Lord, just let my car start for me. And then it starts. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, he's good that way. He's great that way. But God is not your car starter. Goodness sakes. How many of you had challenges in life anyway?
Yes. Amen.
And you needed God. Yes. And you said, Lord, if you help me, I'll try to do the best I can.
Amen.
Amen. Because the rest is up to God, right? Amen. You do your best, God does the rest.
Yes.
How's that? How's that? When you start relying on the power of God in you, Paul says, I can. But then he doesn't say, I can myself. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, it's not to bring out you. It's to bring out Christ in you.
Amen.
So we sacrifice our comfort. Some of you got out of a bed this morning. You didn't feel like turning that bed. Or the bed was, just wait a few more minutes. Right? So you know a little bit about sacrificing comfort, amen? The second thing we have to worry about is sacrificing time.
Man.
Time is the most precious commodity that you have in your life. Young people, hear me well. Spend your time wisely.
Amen.
It cannot be replaced. Once it's used, it's gone. So the question is, how will I use my time? How will I sacrifice my time on the altar of my faith? How will I give up my time? There's a risk involved. I can do what I want to with my time, or I can do what God wants me to do. It's not going to hurt me to do some of the things that God would have me. How many of y'all learned the joy of tithing?
Amen.
And you don't just give, oh God, I got to give 10% of my income. 10%? Well, look who gave you the 100%. Goodness gracious. So when you start doing that and you get into it, you recognize, wow, no, I don't have a whole lot of money, but God blessed me not to be sick.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or I expected my electric bill to be at this amount and it came in at this amount.
Amen.
That's God. Because he loves you and he wants you to learn the joy of serving him. Then we sacrifice, of course, our wealth, what we have. What is the sacrifice? How many of y'all have ever given to some of your family members who you know they're not going to pay you back? I'm going to pay you back on payday, and that payday ain't come yet. Right? So you know what it means to sacrifice your wealth for the benefit of someone else. But here's the good news. Many of them as Christians in Rome, they were sacrificing, sending their wealth away to Jerusalem and folks that they didn't even know, to help them out. Y'all might have quiet. Okay. But that's a sacrifice. Do you understand what the risks are?
Amen.
Knowing this, we say, I believe.
Right.
Knowing this, we say, I'm willing to give. God didn't call you to be a Jew and try to look like a Jew and act like a Jew. He called you to be a believer. He knew that you came from a different culture, so you don't have to go through the Jewish rituals, but you do have to go through the challenge of your faith. He says, so present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Let me show you some things of why we can't do it. And then, of course, there's the pain involved when you do give yourself. There's a lot of pain to it, amen? But you willingly do it because you know that the one that you're following had more pain than you did.
Right.
It's amazing how we want to serve Jesus. I love the Lord, and we don't want any pain. We want it to be a painless thing. Well, I'm sorry, you're following the wrong man. He's got nail scars in his hands. He's got the print of the nail in his feet and the thorns in his brow. And that's the risk. But listen, you must also look at the fact that there's a reward in that. Now, why can't we do this? Why can't we? One is we believe that God has saved us only. That we have salvation. And therefore, I'm waiting around until the Lord calls me home. Well, he ain't called you home yet, child. I call this trophy religion. You know how you get a trophy and you put it on a shelf and you say, this is a trophy. For us to believe that God saved us only to put us on a shelf to look at, that's not God. You search through the scripture and you see many, many, many people being used of God. Some were able to have victories in battle. Some fought. They stood up and they lost their lives, but they kept their faith. Clap goes right there. Yeah. So God did more than just save you from sin. Yes, he saved you from sin, but he didn't just save you from sin only. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that gift, you can do tremendous things for the kingdom of God. Another clap right there. Yeah, that's where it goes. Yeah. All right, so second faulty faith that we have, a faulty idea of faith, is that life in Christ is problem-free. Now, how many of y'all seasoned saints out there can say that? That's not the case. I'm talking about you that have walked with God for a little while. And you know that just because you pray and you pray earnestly and you pray the right prayer, but God didn't answer it your way. He did something else to bring glory to his name. And you rejoice because you said, Lord, as you will, let it be done. Us seasoned saints, we know. We know we've been there in the heat of the battle. We've been there in the problems of life. And let me ask you the question, how in the world can you shout the victory if you never had to fight? Amen. That's why people have a dried up worship. Right. You know, they lift it. Come on, lift your hand now. Praise God. Lift both hands. Praise the Lord. Right. You know, one of the reasons why I decided I would buy some new robes and to do that is because I need to identify with what I believe in. Amen. Why do I wear a robe? I wear a robe because I'm a preacher. Amen. I see guys getting up there on national TV and they want to show folks how big muscles they have. Man, get out of here. We want to hear you preach. Now, the clothes do not, it's not the clothes, but it's what it represents, right? Amen. And I'm seeing people drifting closer and closer and closer to the world, yes, than they are to the holy God that they serve. Amen. I'm not just wearing this robe. What? I want to wear a hot robe and preach in? You know, maybe I ought to get some of those things with the muscles showing, but I ain't got no muscles, so you get the point. But I purchased this robe because I wanted to let young ministers know you don't play with this.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
This is not a show. Amen. This is not TV entertainment. You got to know who you're standing for. Amen. And one of these days when I take off the robe, I'm going to be going to another place where I get another robe.
Amen.
But for now, I'll wear this one. All right. Uh-huh. Life is not problem free. Let me rush. I told you I was going to rush on. Now, here are the rewards. Reward number one, God's joy. Now we say, I want God's joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But the joy is always given to replace something. We used to come out here to church in the mornings, and Brother Knight and Ron and myself, and we prayed, did that for about 15, 16 years. He continued for another 5 years because I was down in Halifax. But Brother Knight continued to pray and seek God's face because he knew that people were facing struggles, and we called your name out in prayer. Because you needed God's joy.
Amen.
That joy was to replace the grief that you were facing.
Right.
How many of you ever gone through something and felt you could feel waves of something coming over you?
Yes.
That was answers to prayer. That was God sending in he was dropping the joy bomb, I call it. You know, he was sending blessings your way because somebody had prayed for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
God's joy. You never would have made it unless God's joy had come in. And whenever you risk something, whenever you're saying, I want to sacrifice, God is always going to give you something back.
Yes.
Second thing he gives is resurrection power.
Yes.
We think of that as when we die, he'll raise us from the dead. But no, while we're going through problems and we can't make it, he raises us up in life. That resurrection power is also for us here now who are struggling. People say, what are you doing? I'm holding on. I ain't Tarzan. I'm not just holding on, I'm proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. As I watch and as I see how that we're getting weaker in the flesh, but we're getting stronger in the spirit. Be strong, what? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. That's what we have to do. Amen. We have resurrection power. How did you get it? Our sacrifice. Then the third thing, God's work of redemption. I worked in the manufacturing. I've had so many jobs. I'll tell you what, I stopped counting them. Had a bunch of jobs in my life. One was in manufacturing, and I watched how they could take raw material, and they would have a router. They would say, we're going to do this to it, and we're going to do that to it. We're going to turn it. We're going to put it on the lathe. We're going to send it through degrind and all of the other processes. But the end result is that the raw material looked nothing like the finished product. If you present yourself to God, I guarantee you that when you stand in glory before the Almighty God, you will not only look better, you're going to look like him who brought you through. Sometimes you didn't think you were going to make it, but God kept you in the palm of his hand. What's he doing now? He's working on you, and he's working in you to do what you cannot do for yourself. God is able to shape you and mold you and to make you into something that is glorious for his name. It's called the work of redemption. And when that work appears, when we shall appear, we're going to look at ourselves, man, look at what God did. Because it was God who worked on you. All right, very quickly, some things I want you to give or have as takeaways. Number one, no sacrifice, no change. The reason why some of you are struggling with the same old habits is that you haven't sacrificed it. Right. Well, I've been this way all my life. Yeah, even old dog turn over every now and then. Sacrifice it. Sacrifice it. Well, I've always had this temper. Sacrifice it. If there's no sacrifice, there can be no change. Paul says, I beg you, give it to God. Amen. Surrender it to God. Second thing is, self-sacrifice is total transformation. He says, now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transform means metamorphosis. And if you don't know what that means, it means to change. To change. God wants us to change. And then as we change, something glorious happens. Transformation equals God's will. A butterfly, in their native state as raw material, don't look like a butterfly. It's a worm. We used to have a song that we would sing, had the lyrics that saved a wretch like me. I'm no wretch. Well, let me ask you a question. Why would you need salvation if you were not a wretch? I notice an old English word. God could have called you a lot worse. And I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. But here's the work of transformation. Once that worm begins to spin itself into that thing that we call a cocoon, and it keeps spinning and spinning and putting it out, what's he doing? He's sacrificing. I believe that every time he puts it out, he said, I want to change. I want to change. And what went in looking like a worm, it begins to wiggle and make its way out. It still has some of the remnants of what it used to be as a reminder. But lo and behold, it comes out. Amen. And it begins to flap its wings. No longer a worm, but a butterfly. Amen. Let me tell you what's happening to you. You are now in Christ Jesus the Lord, the changer of changes. The one who can change everything about you. But he is not going to change you unless you say, God, change it. Amen. change it. Now, let me help you out. Let me help you out. Anything that you can't take to heaven with you, you better change it right. Lord have. I know I'm out of time. I'm out of time. But anything that God would not be glorified in, you better ask God to change it. I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to still be a worm. Amen. I want to at least get me some wings so that I'll fly away to glory and be with the Lord. But it takes self-sacrifice. That's the risk. But there's also the reward that God never has unfinished work. He always completes it. And it's always good. Give the Lord one more hand clap. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your awesome power and goodness. We pray that you would help us now to be hearers of your word and doers, that we might be obedient to the faith. And Lord, as we get ready to partake of this communion, I pray that you would help us to understand that as we celebrate that, we're looking at what Christ gave as our holy sacrifice, but then we're also sacrificing something of ourselves. Unconfessed sin. Habits that have no place in our Christian life. Attitudes, ideas, and notions that will not fit for your glory. Those we ask that you would change. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask we all stand as we prepare our heart. If there's one today and you know not Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we invite you to come. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. With everyone today.